Well, hello, and welcome to Endeavor's Oscar show. I've been a little late getting these up lately. I think it's a symptom of working late and going to bed at four or five in the morning. And also, I've sort of been ignoring everything else and really focusing on my family tree. For years, my aunt and I have been this keeper of the family secrets, if you will, at least on my dad's side of the family. And we've, you know, have various documents and papers and photos and all that. But my mom's side, we knew very little about. And then one day I came upon a message board that my late uncle, my mom's brother, had posted on. And as you know, you find something and it leads you down a rabbit hole. And for the past 3 days, I've discovered on various lines 300, 400, 500 years of history. And then on one line, you follow the link, and it leads you back to Rollo, first Duke of Normandy, and then Charlemagne. Now, everybody who's of white European descent like myself is a descendant of Charlemagne, so this isn't surprising. It was just cool to be able to find the paper trail, I suppose. I need to double check the dates because it's a little funky, but it would be my 45th great-grandfather, so I believe that would be 48 generations, if I'm correct. So anyway, that's sort of why I've been a little lax on the show lately. But it's a very good show. I've got an interview with Agnes Varda, who's the co-director of the favorite to win Best Documentary Feature, Visageville, or as it's known in English, Faces, Places, which she co-directed with JR, and then also with Ziad Duereri, who is the director of The Insult, which is a nominee from Lebanon for Best Foreign Language Film. Going to start you off with a song, and this is one of the nominees for Best Original Song. This is Mighty River, written and performed by Mary J. Blige, who's also up for Best Supporting Actress, from the film Mudbound.
Life is a teacher, time is a healer, and I'm a believer. Like a river wild, ego's a killer, greed is a monster, but love is stronger, stronger than them all. Who I fight in hell, I don't wanna fight. No lines in the sun, I'm on your side. We put our differences aside. Time tells no lies. It keeps changing and ticking and moving, then passes by. But if you're lucky, it will be kind, like a river flowing. Wash it clean,
mighty river,
going upstream,
like a river,
cutting through a rock,
mighty river,
cause it never gives up,
like a river,
so full of life,
mighty river,
liquid like time,
like a river,
let it wash. washed away the pain from yesterday. Love is the answer, hate is a cancer. Hope of forgiveness, it waters the soul. Our blood is red, we're not so different. 'Cause underneath our skin, we're identical. White back in hand, not gonna fight. No lines in the sand, I'm on your side. Invisible, no color line. Oh, it's time we put our no wrong from right. Oh, time tells no lies. He keeps changing and ticking, moving and passes by. But if you're lucky, it will be kind. Oh, like a river.
That was the song Mighty River from the film Mudbound. It is one of the nominees in the Best Original Song category, written and performed by Mary J. Blige, who also co-stars in the film and received a nomination for Best Supporting Actress. My first guest is considered somewhat of an icon in the French New Wave cinema. She is the co-director of the documentary Faces Places, which she co-directed with French artist J.R. With this nomination, she becomes the oldest person ever nominated for a competitive non-honorary Academy Award. But her career is so much more. She's focused on films, photographs, and arts installations with realism, feminist issues, and a social commentary. She was also one of the 343 women who signed the manifesto of the 343 in 1971, admitting that they had an abortion despite the fact that it was illegal in France. And she was one of five people to attend Jim Morrison's burial in 1971 at the Père Lachaise Cemetery. Speaking of the fact that she is the oldest nominee for a competitive Oscar. Back in November, she was also awarded a honorary Lifetime Achievement Oscar at the Governor's Awards. But she's received a host of other awards as well. In April 17, 2017, she was promoted to the Grand Officer in Legion d'Honneur. In May of 2015, she received an honorary Palme d'Or, the first woman to do so. In 2014, the European Film Academy awarded her the Honorary Lifetime Achievement Award, and she received the Leopard of Honor Award at the 67th Locarno Film Festival in August 2014. She has received other orders, including the Grand Cross of the National Order of Merit of France, an honorary degree from Liège University in Belgium, a Grand Officer in the National Order of Merit of France, and a recipient of the French Academy Prize, René Clair Award. Faces Places is one of the frontrunners for the Best Documentary Feature. She is Agnès Varda, and I spoke with her a couple of weeks ago. Agnès Varda, hello. Bonjour. Thanks for being here this afternoon.
Yes, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm in my voice.
Your new film is Faces Places or Visage Villages. How did you and JR first meet, hook up?
Well, how come?
Yeah, how did you and JR meet?
How did I get the idea? So the song is not very good, huh? Sorry. Okay. Can you speak louder?
Yeah, I was just asking how you and JR, your co-director, how you first met or how you first got introduced to one another.
Well, you know, I have never worked with anybody else, or in writing, or in directing. So it's the first time for me. But it became very natural, because we met, and the feeling we had about how to feel to be together, and if we could have a project, and at the minute we met, we thought we should do something together. And we thought maybe a short, maybe an installation. It didn't have the look of a film to start with, you know. And then we went to do a little tour. We gave ourselves a tour. And then we were absolutely sure we wanted to make a film. So it started, you know, peacefully.
I heard JR mentioned he kind of joked about your differing styles. You know, he comes from the boom, 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 let's move fast generation of filmmakers, and you come from the much more slower pace style. How did you find that your two...
We don't discuss even style. You know, we decided that together we had the same feeling about people, about going toward people, and trying to get the best of them, trying to see how we get along. We know we never raised the question, for whom are you voting? See, we never put the question about who they were in terms of society, party, you know. So we wanted to meet the people the way they are, the way they like it. What I could I say, a person-to-person adventure.
So just describe the actual process that you two went through. You sort of just went around to all these little towns in France and met different people. How did that actually sort of work for you guys?
I don't know what the question. How did it work?
Yeah, just in terms of, you know, going around from village to village and town to town. How did you end up creating the different portraits of the people that you met?
To start with, is that we shot only 1 week per month, because we would do a shooting for a week, then come back home. and think about it and have in mind somebody else, or decide we go in another place, looking at the map, then go again next month, do a week elsewhere. So we built little by little, we built like a kind of map of France. So we would do north and south and so on. And it was not, you know, it was not totally organized, but some organization that could say that. I take an example. We have a village. I knew the postman. Okay, we go there. We speak with the postman. Then we decide to make the portrait of a young woman, a waiter. And then we need an umbrella. So I look for the umbrella. The man who finds the umbrella of his parents' wedding is the one who does the bell. And he tells us. And so we go with him in the tower for the bell. It's vaguely prepared. And then we were open and ready to meet other people and to go to another event. You see, so it's half prepared, half luck. Is that the question?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Then after 3 or 4 months, we started the editing and thinking, well, we need, or that's missing, or another part of the France is missing. So we built more or less the itinerary. Was made little by little.
Now, I know the film won the L'Œil d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, but how does it feel to be an Academy Award nominee?
Well, first of all, when we went to the Film Festival of Cannes, it was out of competition. So we were okay, out of competition, 5 p.m. We thought it was peaceful, but there was an incredibly warm audience. It was endless applause. We were very surprised. And at the end of the festival, we understood that we won a special prize, which is not the festival. It's a prize about documentary called Golden Eye. So we got that, and we were very happy. How do I feel? How do I feel to have a Golden Eye?
To be invited
by the Oscar?
Yeah, how do you feel to be recognized by the Academy in the same year that you received an honorary lifetime Oscar?
But you understand that the Oscar is a big competition for winning money, etc. But they have a cinephile cell of people, a group of people. And every year they make a choice about, you know, a director, an actor, a deep, etc. So it came on me, which means that they recognize my work. And they knew and no illusion of the fact that I never brought money to anybody. But my films are known. So they decided to give me that. I took it very naturally, with joy.
In terms of the best documentary feature, which you and JR are nominated for, Do you think about your chances of winning it all? How do you, or are you just gonna go and have a good time?
I cannot make a big fuss about that. You know, we are very proud to have been selected in the first supposedly best documentaries. Already to be in the bunch of five is a very big honor, right? It's exciting to be, as you call, nominated. So we are nominated. And that means that if the five documentaries are worth it, so we may win, we may not win. We know the audience, American, has loved the film, Places, Places. But in another hand, they don't like people films speaking French. No, they like better when it speaks English, etc. So there is some reason to win and some reason not to win. And the other films are good also, so nothing special, you know, nothing special to discuss. JR is in New York right now. I'm in Paris, and we'll see. We'll meet in Los Angeles. As an honorary nominee, already I'm invited as a guest for the evening. Even if I were not in competition, I would have been, because they do a little... The little mention of the honorary nominees. So at some point in the evening, they make a headphones to that. So I'm supposed to bow and say hello. No, so anyway, I have a reason to be there. And JR comes because we have done the thing together, very together.
Yeah.
And I hate when for some reason I have to introduce it alone. And the interviews we have given them together, you should call him in New York.
I think in North America, they definitely feel that French filmmaking has a distinct style associated with it. How would you describe what French storytelling is? How would you maybe compare it to what we see in North America?
How do you describe your own behavior, your own taste, your own habit? I do the same I feel. If the other French people got to you, fine. It's not a school, it's not a group. It's not a school like a group of, like the Surrealists when they were in Zurich or something like this. The Dada group, no, it's nothing. Everybody is in a way, alone in its choice. So you have to make the impression and these speeches about the French cinema. But I cannot. I'm just part of it. You know, I know exactly what I do. I like to do real documentary, respecting the subject, and decided that I don't want to be a serious sociologue. I want to allow myself, when I do a film or a documentary, to exist into the film, to enjoy myself, to do digression. Is that the word, digression?
Yes, digression.
You know, going on the side, doing a little tour, you know, with JR at some point. We were in the Musée du Louvre, and we did a little tour of the gallery, of Italian gallery of painting. I was in a wheelchair. He pushed me. But we don't think that scene helps clearly the subject of French little villages. But we did it, we enjoyed it, and we keep it in the film. We allow ourselves to be not systematically serious. You got me? The sense of humor, we needed to keep it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Is there... Are you the
Are you there?
Yes. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I hear very well, but you were gone.
Okay, but you're okay now. Okay. Are you the type of person that... would you say you still get starstruck at all? Like, if you were to you know, when you go to this ceremony, is there one or two people that you're really looking forward to meeting?
Look, when I went to the honorary award, the room was the same than the one for the awards of March. The Hollywoodian cinema was there. Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks and Richard Gere, all the actors, Jessica Chastain and Angelina Jolie, the whole real Hollywood, the famous real Hollywood were there. And I felt it's like a joke for me, you know, because when I started my first film alone with four people in the south of France, at the time I didn't even think of Hollywood. I was not even interested in Hollywood success. So I'm still not interested, but by working so long and so honestly, I ended up that they appreciate me. What is the question? They appreciate me, they invite me, they give me a prize. Good. It's just related to the way I've been following my own desire to make honest film documentaries and short and long. A lot of directors, when they reach the position of being a fiction of big film director, but I go back to short film, I go back to documentaries because I want to do the films I feel like I should do. It has nothing to do with career.
And I not necessarily related to Faces Places, but I really wanted to ask you about your relationship that you had with Jim Morrison, because I know you were one of the very few people to be at his funeral.
I've met Jim Morrison, and he was a big singer and a poet. And I was with Jacques Demy. We were happy to know him and to speak with him and to have dinner with him. And we had a good relationship, very, very about literature, about cinema, about poetry. Okay. Nothing more to say. I'm sad that he died so early. But, you know, this is one of the important people I met in my life. But I also met the sculptor Calder. I was friendly with him. Or the actor Gérard Philippe. You know, thank God I've been meeting good artists like now. I love the artist Boltanski. You know, the artists we meet and we share time with, they feed us. It's good. It's good to know people of talent. Why should I say something about poor Jim Morrison?
The film is Faces Places, Villages, and it is nominated for the Best Documentary Feature at the Academy Awards, which the ceremony will be on March 4th, and Agnes Varda will be there with her co-director, J.R. Agnes Varda, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Yes, thank you for taking it so seriously, the awards, you know. Awards is one thing. What is more important is to share what we do with the audiences. And I feel so good that in Toronto or in the States, Faces Places has been loved. That's a big award.
Yes. Well, we appreciate all your work, and we're wishing you the best of luck at the ceremonies.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye.
Alrighty, thank you. Bonjour. Au revoir. That was Agnes Varda, co-director of the documentary Faces Places. This is another nominee for Best Original Song. This is from the film Call Me By Your Name, The Mystery of Love by Suzanne Stevens.
Cease. Blessed be.
That was Mystery of Love by Sufjan Stevens, nominated for Best Original Song from the film Call Me By Your Name. My next guest is an award-winning filmmaker who has made films in Arabic, French, and English. But he first gained notice for his work under Quentin Tarantino, for whom he worked as a camera assistant on films including Jackie Brown, From Dusk Till Dawn, Pulp Fiction, and Reservoir Dogs. He's an award-winning director now in his own right, and his films include West Beirut, which won the Prix François Chalet at the Director's Fortnight of the Cannes Film Festival in 1998, Lila Says, The Attack, Foreign Affairs, the French TV series Béchant Noir, or known in English as Republican Gangsters, and his newest film, The Insult, which is nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at Sunday's ceremony, representing the country of Lebanon. No stranger to controversy, he has expressed opposition to boycotts of Israel and was questioned in Beirut after shooting the attack, which was shot in that country. We get into a lot about the idea behind the film The Insult, which although takes place in Lebanon, deals with a Arab-Palestinian refugee and a Lebanese man. What's it like making films in that part of the world? He is Ziad Doueri, and I spoke with him last month. Ziad Doueri, hello, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Has it sunk in yet that your film is Oscar nominated and that you'll be going to the ceremony in a few weeks?
Look, that was certainly very good news for us. It's good news because it's the first time that Lebanon has ever been nominated to an Oscar. So in that sense, that's very good. But you know, I like we say in French, I haven't lost my north. You know, I know that, you know, the news when it came out, Dan, I was very happy because of what we've been through before the film was released. You know, there was a big temptation to stop that movie from being released in Lebanon, and there was a lot of negotiation, and there were so many groups trying to attack us and trying to convince the government not to release the film, but the government didn't succumb to their pressure, and because there was no legal basis to it. So when we got the nomination, it felt right. It felt like maybe justice is served. Like we were so close as not to have that film released.
I think a lot of people might be curious as to why the country as a whole gets the nomination rather than the individual filmmaker. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like why the nomination is under Lebanon rather than Ziad Doueri?
I think this is the Oscar. This is the Oscar rules. You know, they have to go through a filtration system. I think if every country has to submit 20, 30, 40, 50 films, they will not be finished. They have to use the country and let the country itself do its selection process. Otherwise, they'll be overflooded.
You mentioned some of the sort of trouble that you had, or you know, opposition you had to this film being released. And I think a lot of people sort of out in this part of the world might not understand what it's like being a filmmaker in the Middle East. What has that experience been like for you, just being someone who makes art and tells these types of stories in that part of the world?
Look, the Middle East is a peculiar place. You have to take in consideration that when you make a movie, you're touching upon sensitive themes. you have to take in consideration that there is censorship in the Arab world. It's very unfortunate because I am so against censorship. But this is a fact of life. And sometimes you make a film and the agencies, the government agencies, attack you, or they ask you to cut some scenes, or they ask you to remove some phrases. Or even they could completely object to the idea of the film because it does not suit certain politics, like my previous film, The Attack. The Attack was boycotted in 22 Arab countries. And I was extremely upset about that decision. And it remained a very dark spot on me, because the reason they boycotted is I was accused of being an Israeli collaborator. Just the fact that I shot it in Israel in 2012. When I came up with the second film, this one, The Insult, the old file had been reopened again. And the same pressure group that boycotted, that managed to convince the Lebanese government to boycott my previous film, they went back at it again. And they started trying to force the government into not giving me the permit to release that film. So when you do films in the Middle East, you have to not only deal with struggling to make your movie, but you also have to deal with the other side, which the authorities or with the political parties or with the journalism, all that stuff. It's part of the battles. I wish it would end someday. I wish that just they leave filmmakers to do their own work, because it's hard as is. We don't need to fight on every level. But this is the situation. You know, we live in the Middle East. Is a place that is far from being perfect.
Given everything that's been happening, both in Hollywood and beyond, and sort of what you told me about the bureaucracy of it, and even the subject matter of this film, how do you think we tackle the issue of male arrogance and male ego going forward?
Look, in The Insult, we talked about it. We talked in The Insult about those two decent people, decent person, the protagonist, the Christian Lebanese and the Palestinian. In spite of they are humble, but they are, they are stubborn, too stubborn macho. And I wanted to talk about it, but at the same time, we gave them reason why they are. We gave reasons why Tony is so hostile to the other, and that's revealed in the courtroom. Remember, this is a courtroom drama. In fact, I knew that the courtroom genre was definitely what I wanted to do for this film. It just fit perfectly in it. I knew it early on. And at the same time, counteracting those male stubborn guys, I created a whole palette of female characters, whether they're wives or their partners or their judges. We have very strong female roles in the film that wanted to show that women in the Arab world, in the Muslim world, in the Middle East are cool, are intelligent, are balanced, are rational. They are not like their husbands or like their fathers or daughters.
Was it important for you, given that it is a Lebanese Christian and a Palestinian, was it important in a conscious decision for you to cast a Palestinian actor?
You always try to go to whoever does the job better, to tell you the truth. But for authenticity reasons, I prefer to go the first way to give it to a Palestinian. And I, shopped around, if you want to say. I casted a lot of people, and I ended up finding that this actor, who was from Jerusalem, was extremely good, was very fit for the role. That's why I ended up choosing him. For the role of Tony, the Christian, I chose a very known comedian in Lebanon who has Adel Karam is an actor who is very, very known, very popular, and he has his own talk show on television. And he comes from a Christian family. He grew up in East Beirut. He grew up in that very same section of town where we filmed all his scenes. So, the nationality and religion and all that stuff is not a criteria, but sometimes it works. Sometimes it works together. It comes together. Why not?
Of course, one of the characters in this film is a Palestinian refugee, and that's an issue that's been in the news a lot lately. For people in the West that might not have as much knowledge, how would you describe the refugee situation, particularly in Lebanon right now?
Look, I've been asked this question many times regarding the Syrian refugee, because we have a huge problem with the Syrian refugees. You know, you have a 2 million refugee in a population of 4 million. Almost 40% of your population is refugee. This is causing a catastrophic dimension to every aspect of life in Lebanon. It's very sad. But I did not want to tackle the Syrian refugee issue. That's another story. My story was about two people. One of them is Lebanese, the other one is Palestinian, and how much they are at each other's throat. What are those two people looking for? They're looking for justice. They're looking for their dignity back. This is what the story is about. But I get asked that question all the time, because the word refugee is the menu du jour. You know, it's a huge issue in the Western world and in the Middle East. But I did not want to tackle the Syrian refugee. That's a different topic.
I know both in that part of the world and in the sense of the male ego, honor plays a big part. But it strikes me that in this film we can almost look upon honor as a negative. What are your feelings on honor culture?
Look, it is to be more precise. It's not just about honor; it's about dignity. Now, you know, words spoken in the Middle East are very loaded. This film is ran by words. It's not an action-oriented film. The action itself is the drama inside what's said. I grew up in a culture that you know, even when I was young, my dad always used to tell me, he said, be careful about what you say. Be careful about your words. Your words are offensive. Do not insult people's religion. Don't insult people's culture. Don't insult people's nationality. People take this at heart. They can accept other kind of insults, but don't mess with certain things. This film is about how much words make a difference, how much words are taken at heart, how much it can cause problems. I've always been exposed to that since I was a child. So when I started drafting the script, I knew that the word is going to be the leading drama in the film. That's why I felt very early on that it's going to be a trial. It's going to be a courtroom drama, because in a courtroom, everything is revealed through words, not through action. So it's something that I've very been sensitive to.
Now, I know you spent a lot of time in Hollywood in Los Angeles, and I know you worked under Tarantino for a bit. But what was your decision to go back home to Beirut and start working there rather than staying in the West?
You know, that's a good question. I've been always attracted to Lebanon, because it is where I lived my childhood and my teenage years. These are formative years, and they were not just a regular teenage. You know, I grew up at age of 12. The war started, and I remember it very well. It was day in, day out. It was not an occasional war. It was a full-time war, and it certainly left an incredible impact, and I would say so, ironically, a positive impact in my psyche. When I left at age of 19, and I settled in the U.S. for 18 years, these formative years during the Civil War left an incredible impact on me. So I keep going back because I keep finding stories there that are so interesting. The Middle East, in spite of all its problems, in spite of all its, like, sometimes you look at the Middle East, you say nothing good come out of there, which I would not be surprised if people think that, because there's only, most of the time, there's only bad news that come out. You know, it's always violence, it's always reaction to reaction, it's always extremism, it's always missing the chance to improve your society. I agree with all that. But at the same time, there are tons of stories to be told. And as a filmmaker, you're attracted to go find a story. And I seem to be finding a story all the time. Like, there are so many, there is a Pandora box of stories. The Middle East is so rich in that sense. Whether it's good news or bad news, it doesn't matter for me. There's always a story to tell.
You know, speaking of bad news, what do you make of sort of everything that's been coming out of Hollywood the last few months or so?
You mean in terms of cinema?
No, no, just in terms of, like, the, you know, the whole Me Too movement and, you know, filmmakers or producers being, you know, accused of assault, harassment, this, that, or the other.
To tell you the truth, I've been reading about it, but I haven't been living in the midst of it because I'm based in Paris. And, you know, I read about it and it's very unfortunate what's going on, you know. But I really can't say more than what's being already told. You know, I mean, it's good that things are coming to light. It's good that those abuses must stop because it affects us all and it gives a bad image about the film industry. But I'm not going to say more because I don't want to look like I am, you know, outpacing others. You know what I'm saying?
It's, for sure. You studied under Tarantino, and he's a very distinct style of filmmaker. What was that experience like for you?
I didn't study under Tarantino.
Sorry, you worked on some of his films, is my understanding.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, I get asked the question all the time. Certainly, he's an incredible filmmaker, an incredible talent, and he's a true enthusiast. He gets very, very involved in every aspect of this process. And he's unique. And certainly must have left an impact, his uniqueness and the way he deals with compulsive characters. He must have left an impact in me, just as he left impact with so many filmmakers. You know, he's a great school, even though we don't do the same type of films at all.
Now, I know you've done projects in English, you've done projects in Arabic, and you've done projects in French. Is there a difference for you in either, you know, the process in when you're directing in different languages?
Not at all, actually, because at the end it is just a story to tell. Whether it's in Arabic or in Hebrew or in English or in French, it's still a story to tell. The thing that you might probably want to know that I write all my movies in English, and then I get them translated to the original language after that. But all my films are written in American. I don't say English. I don't say English. I use American.
Do you think you'll ever do an English language film?
I think my next one will be, probably. I'm working on something right now. I don't have all the details yet because it's at an early stage, but it's possibly that it's going to be shot in America, yes.
What are you most looking forward to about the Oscars ceremony?
I am not expecting anything. I got my present when the film was released in Lebanon. That's it. It was a very risky battle. Not risky, it was a very scary battle. And really there was one point where I lost hope that the film would even be released. Had it not been released, it would not be nominated or wouldn't have anything. The film would have died. The fact that it was released, to me, I got my award. I really do.
Do you think this will help, you know, and maybe further work in cinema and in Lebanon and in that part of the world?
It certainly helps. It opens doors. It brings in the attention. You know, it's just a small step, but it's an important step.
Well, the film is The Insult. I had a chance to watch it. I absolutely love the film. And it's now Lebanon's entry for Best Foreign Language Film at the 90th Academy Awards. Ziad Doueri, congratulations on the film, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty, have a good one. Cheers.
Thank you, bye-bye.
That was my conversation with Ziad Doueri, director of The Insult, up for Best Foreign Language Film from Lebanon. Gonna play one final Oscar-nominated Best Original Song, and this is Stand Up For Something, which is from the film Marshall. It's the only nomination this film received. It's not that well known, But more people might see it because it stars Black Panther Chadwick Boseman as Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. And it also has a great cast. It's got Josh Gad, Kate Hudson, Dan Stevens, Emmy winner Sterling K. Brown, who is also in Black Panther, and James Cromwell. I hadn't really heard too much about the film until I heard about this nomination, but I'm excited to see if I can track it down. The song is called Stand Up for Something. It's written by Diane Warren and Lonnie Lynn and is performed by Andra Day featuring Common. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Hope you enjoy the ceremony tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Bye.
You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything, but what does it, who's looking back at you? Define the life you're living, not by what you take, but what you're giving. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand, make a stand for what's right. It's always worth, always worth the fight. It all means nothing, and if you don't stand up,
cause I understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan's the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.